Welcome to the Career Hacks Podcast. My name is Ryan Webb, and I work as a Career Service Advisor within UQ, Faculty of Business Economics and Law, and the Careers Employability Team. We find opportunities for students to gain experience in the workplace, connect you with industry through networking and events, boost your confidence through practical workshops, and develop your career plan. In this podcast series, we speak with a range of outstanding professionals working in different industry fields and current students wanting to share their opinion with you. We gain valuable insights into their careers and discuss employability topics that are relevant in today's fast-paced and agile world of work. The Career Hacks Podcast, giving you the opportunity to listen to their stories. I would like to introduce Sabrina Schreiber, who was recently promoted to Senior Consultant at KPMG as part of their Operations Advisor sector. She is also a UQ alumni, which is fantastic. Congratulations on your promotion, firstly, and welcome to the Career Hacks Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for the little congratulations and the LinkedIn stalk.
Yes, I did a bit of LinkedIn stalking.
That's fine.
Recently. Oh, fantastic. I guess we'll kick straight into the first question. Are you able to share a bit about your background and what drove you to study the Bachelor of Laws Honours and Economics at UQ and how it led to your career path now?
Can do. Feels like it's backtracking a bit before uni even started, but first got into econ and law just coming from a uni background with electives, a high school background with electives that align to those kind of areas. And I thought something of interest. I didn't 100% know where I was going, but something I thought I could pick up and run with for a bit and got into it. And I really enjoyed both of those fields of study. I really enjoyed being around campus and just getting involved with everything. So UQ life was where I wanted to be. Once I got into uni, I did for part-time work. Like I did a bit of tutoring. I worked at a kid's shoe shop for a bit. So nothing all that corporate at the get-go, but got into work at a barrister's chambers towards the end of my degree. So got a bit more exposure to corporate experience and a bit more of my law side. But also at uni, I was really involved in UQBA, which is the business association. So a lot of exposure to Big Four and other firms in that kind of realm that played on my econ business side of things. And as I progressed through my degree, I was quite lucky to have a crack at a few different work experience opportunities and internships. So really got to see how the work I may want to do would play out either in the businessy or the law kind of sectors. And that kind of led me down the consulting path. So I sort of learned about it through some Bell Set events as well as through UQBA and some of the other uni societies. And it was something that sparked my interest. So got some internships there and made my way to KPMG in the grad spot starting in the beginning of 2020, which is a COVID grad year, which was a really great experience in itself. But 4 weeks in the office and then we all head into lockdown and head home from there. But yeah, it's been a really great year and a half. So quite a mixed bag of experiences, which has been really cool. And particularly with COVID, it's made us a little bit more national in our resourcing model. So I had some Sydney work as well as a lot of things in Brisbane and even sort of regional Queensland. And yeah, now I'm here 18 months in and loving it.
Did you have to go to Sydney or was that COVID related you'd have to do remotely?
Yeah, so typically, if it wasn't a COVID year, I think it was a manager and I from Brisbane were on the job in Sydney. I expect we would have flown down most weeks, whether it was a Monday to Thursday or whether it was just here and there meetings and workshops. But being COVID, we basically ran the whole thing virtually. So we were based here. And Teams is an absolute game changer for this kind of stuff. So we were totally involved with the rest of the project team, just doing it remotely. And there's been a lot more opportunities like that since COVID. I think particularly with juniors, there's people in my team who are on other banking jobs in Sydney or others who get involved in different sectors that are maybe more prominent down south than we have in Brisbane. So it's been really cool just being able to connect a bit more virtually that way and get onto some different jobs.
What a fantastic outcome.
Yeah.
Congratulations, said. One of the reasons why I did source you out, I guess, for this podcast is your level of involvement at UQ. It felt like that you were at every event that I was at while you were at uni. So
I don't know if that's a good reflection on my study techniques, but yeah, that's fine, right?
Well, I'm assuming you passed still.
Yeah, I passed. It was fine.
And so I guess it's a real, you'll be a great example to talk to about why students should be involved with things today. So thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I guess just on your current role, people may know of KPMG as one of the Big Four, but not really understand advisory as such. Can you tell us, go into a bit of detail about what you do day to day Also, how does KPMG differ from other global firms?
I think that's one of the big stereotypes with the big four, and often something when I'm trying to talk to older family members that everyone straight away goes, oh, you're an accountant. And I'm like, definitely not an accountant. I think that's one of the really cool things with consulting is coming from a law econ background. We just have such a mixed range of degrees that come into that area and that division at KPMG and all the other firms. And it's really exciting working with such a diverse mixed team who we have engineers or we have health specific teams and they have ex-nurses, and it's just such a broad array of skills, which is really cool. So a bit more specifically on my team. So operations advisory falls within our customer and operations practice. So MC is quite a broad mix, well, KPMG at least, of different teams and sector specialties. And I always think the best way it was explained to me is it's a bit like a matrix. So all of the teams run as sort of vertical pillars. So you have things like operations advisory, our sister team, which is customer brand and marketing advisory. You have teams like people and change who hone in on that change management and also that HR, almost psychological side of things as well. And running across all of those are the sectors. So in Sydney and Melbourne, with the bigger offices, you probably get a bit more pinned down to somewhere in a team and a sector. But in Brisbane, it's a bit more, you get to play across all the different sectors while being in your same team, which is sort of a specialist area. So for CNO and Ops Advisory, for me specifically, our main things are target operating model. So how you actually structure a business to make it tangibly work to achieve what it wants to achieve. We have operational excellence, which is all about finding ways to improve a process. So that's a big project I've been on at the moment, which has been really interesting. So working with a business to map out what they tangibly do to achieve something end to end, and then work out where the pain points are and how we can actually help them improve it to drive a bit of change. And our team also does some work on procurement supply chain, but the operating model and the operational excellence are probably our two most prominent areas at the moment. And I guess day-to-day for a junior, I think I love the fact in consulting, and I even realised this when I was doing my internships, but the client exposure from day one is amazing. So you're not hidden away just pumping out slides and not really talking to anyone. You actually get to get in there, talk to people, and really work with them during the whole process, regardless what level you are. So even the job I'm on at the moment, we're pretty much 100% out at the client site. So in the client's office, working with them, they'll drop by, we'll have a chat and just really nut stuff out together, which has been really, really cool.
Fantastic. Yeah. It sounds like an amazing and complex sort of environment, a little bit different to what people may have understood about advisory or consultancy. Did you get a lot of support when you were first kicking off, especially when you're talking about that matrix that sounds quite complex to someone that's probably not in it? Did you have plenty of support from your peers?
Yeah. I think even one of the first things of picking what team you're even going to apply for is a challenge in itself. For that lens, I probably got a lot of support from other students at uni. So talking to peers who are maybe a year or two older and they've already done some internships and they had a bit more insight on what the teams actually mean. Because you can read as much as you want on the internet, but sometimes it's not all that clear about what they're actually doing day to day and what kind of business they engage in. So I think talking to uni peers and then heading along to networking events and jumping online and really just trying to dig into what that team does is a big thing to actually pick where you want to go in the first instance. But once you get in there, I think there's a lot of chop and change, which is difficult to get used to at first, but I think it's something that makes consulting so exciting. And the teams we're in, everyone, well, at least my team, is everyone is so supportive, both from just a general junior onboarding perspective and then almost being the subject matter experts and the SMEs who really teach you about the sectors and the specialties and the service offerings that we have. Because you jump into it and realistically, we don't really have set prerequisites that you need. Like you don't need to be a CA or you don't need to have any other additional qualification like that to get into consulting. So you just need to come into it with a bit of curiosity, a bit of an open mind, a bit of a willingness to learn and just an interest to get involved in this such a variety of work. And then once you get in there, that's when you learn the tangible stuff you need to know. So my team's been really, really great. And I think that really stood out to me actually as part of the internship process was how prominent junior development was and how supportive the partners and senior leaders are of juniors and really wanting to help everyone grow and develop and get the most out of their first couple of years as they can.
Oh, that's fantastic and really good, explanation of what it's like to be on the ground after 18 months. So
thanks
for that. That second part of that question as well is, and I guess you'll be going to be biased, but what do you think – KPMG differs compared to the other larger firms or advisory in general?
So realistically, in at least the Brisbane market, I guess the way consulting works is often businesses go out to market and you have to submit a proposal to actually win the work in the first instance. So a lot of the companies are applying for the same kind of thing. So in terms of the clients you get, it can depend on existing relationships that the firm has or work you've done in the past. But realistically, we're all vying for the same thing. For me, it really came down to the feeling I essentially had every day heading in there. So it was somewhere that I wanted to work. And I think that prominence of sort of junior development and genuine care towards the junior cohort was so important to me. I, having a law background as well, something I was really interested to do is there's an extra bit of study you have to do to cap off your law degree. And the fact that this was a firm who was so supportive of actually helping me pursue that despite it not actually being directly consulting relevant is really exciting. So we have down south, there's a national, but it's a national security and justice sector. So they're a lot more prominent in Sydney and Canberra and Melbourne. And during COVID, I was on a job with them, so got exposed to some of the work they're doing. So the opportunity to get involved with some of their stuff, which aligns really strongly with my degree background and my interests, has been really cool, even though it's not a direct Brisbane specialty area. So I think that really big focus on making sure you kind of find your purpose and your passion and the thing that drives you as an individual has really come through and made a big difference to how I feel about working at KPMG and why I wanted to come back.
That's great.
Yeah. No,
thank you very much for sharing. And I guess just backs up what a lot of other people would say about KPMG in particular. And it's good to hear that they've got a great, I guess, behind the scenes as well, which is fantastic. I guess I want to take you back 18 months, maybe a bit longer, when you were a student at UQ. I believe that you were highly involved in a number of activities, including the UQ Union Senate Discipline Appeals Committee and the president of the UQBA. Can you talk through just how you managed to complete all of these while studying and also what being the president of a society has taught you?
That is backtracking a bit. I think I don't know whether this is a cop-out of an answer, but I'm naturally a person who I just enjoy being busy and having a lot of other things on that really get me excited, I think makes me then even more kind of passionate and driven to do the things that I have to do.
I don't think that's a cop-out at all.
But no, I think I just really loved getting involved. And that was one of the big things that I loved about UQ is that you come out onto campus and there's so many things that you can actually see and do and people to meet and get involved with. And I think I mentioned before how impactful some of the uni, so student society events or the Bell Set events were on me actually working out what direction I wanted to go. When I had the opportunity to jump on the other side and essentially help coordinate some of those, that was something really important to me and something I really wanted to contribute to. And not to mention, I met a lot of great friends through those societies and some of which are still my closest friends now. I think it's really great getting involved in something where once you're a bit passionate and interested in it, you're going to find other like-minded people outside of your classes who you might have not met otherwise.
Would you say that they're a little bit more, I guess, driven in the same way as you are with the societies? I guess it's if you can push yourself hard enough to try and just get out of your comfort zone a little bit into the societies, even as a committee member maybe?
So I think the first step's always just go along to the events, whether the social ones or the professional ones. A, they're a lot of fun, but B, you just get the chance to meet some other students who are kind of on the same page as you. They're starting to think about their careers, they're wanting to meet other people on campus, and if the opportunity arises to actually get involved on the committee, to me that was an added plus because you actually got to help deliver some of the events, which I felt was so beneficial to me. So love the idea of being able to deliver them if they were going to help someone else. So I got involved initially, UQBA and a few of the other societies are the same. They have a sub-executive structure, so you can kind of get involved, test out what some of the portfolios are like. And then when the annual general meetings roll around, if you found something you really liked, you could apply to get a position in a particular area. So whether that's putting on things like UQBA ball or different corporate events or getting involved in publications. So there's heaps of different areas, which are really cool.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for that. Oh, on that point in particular as well, UQBA recently held their annual Women in Business Breakfast, which I'm sure you were part of in the past. How much impact do you feel these events have on women coming through university in terms of motivating them into industries like yours?
I really love Women in Business that UQBA hosted. So it used to be the luncheon. I was about to give it the wrong name. it was honestly one of my favourite events. I thought it was such a fantastic event for female and male students alike to just go along and hear from some really inspirational people who were such big advocates, not just for women equality, like female equality in the workplace, but just general diversity. And just getting that opportunity to meet some of those speakers. So I know Sarah Kelly, who's really involved in the business school, have been there. We've had Kirsten Ferguson. Most recently, we had the KPMG rep Natalie Hu went along. And she's an incredible woman. And I know her speech at the most recent event went down an absolute treat. But getting to hear some of the experiences of these individuals, I personally just found so inspiring. And I know we could get into a whole conversation about approaching 50-50 and all that kind of thing, sure, in the workplace. And we're still working on it, of course. But having those role models, essentially, and those figures to really see the journeys that they've gone through and what they've strived towards and what they've kind of set up so that we might have a bit of an easier path forward is just so fantastic to see. So, yeah, always love those events. Very, very big advocate of stuff like WBL or WBB if it's now breakfast, not luncheon. Yep.
Just remember, you're one of those as well now.
So no.
Keep that in mind. Are you doing my extensive research, aka LinkedIn?
Stalking.
Yeah. I noticed that you were a big buddy in the St. Vincent de Paul's buddy program in 2015, so going back 6 years, and a team lead in the wellbeing area. What was that like? What was the wellbeing? I guess you said it earlier in your answer previously that you like to give back, and that's part of the reason why you got into UQBA. What was being part of a not-for-profit, being able to give back from the wellbeing perspective?
It was a really, really awesome program. I think it's still running. It's a really great program. So my high school was super involved in community outreach kind of activities. So we had a service group, which was dedicated to St. Vincent de Paul. So we'd do the can drive and other activities with their local sort of Bulimba chapter. But then after uni, there was the opportunity to get involved. They ran some camps and then I think it was a monthly buddy program. And you just get to head out with some really awesome kids and just have a really fun day. And some of those kids, the backgrounds have come from, just having the chance to have a day where they just have fun and didn't really have to think about some of the stuff, I think was just so wonderful that you could actually contribute to that kind of experience for them. And again, awesome opportunity in terms of if you're talking personal growth and development of, again, meeting other like-minded people. And some of them go to UQ and actually some of them went to UQ Gatton, who I'd never met them before.
Wow.
So
okay,
getting to build that kind of network with people who share that similar interest. And some of those people themselves are super inspiring. The amount of effort and passion they have towards a program like Vinny's was just so awesome to see. And I think really drove me to want to keep going along every week or every month, as well as, you know, the kids, because they were just so awesome. So it was a really great opportunity.
No, that it did stick out for me. I'm very much interested in giving back.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that everyone should at least aspire to do, especially while you got time during COVID. Got some extra time on our hands, so it's great that you got to experience that. And I think 6 years on, you probably sound like you've just done it last week. So obviously stayed with you that experience.
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing. As a person that worked in and around the wellbeing space previously, as I was explaining, I'm sure you understand the need for downtime. So I'm just wondering what you like to do when you've got some downtime to sort of rebalance yourself, if you like, and just take some time for yourself.
I feel like I always have a bit of a busy brain, so finding time to relax is super important. Always a big advocate of family and friends. And I recently got a puppy who she's probably a bit more chaotic than relaxing, but working.
I love puppies.
Yeah. She's so cute. She's a miniature poodle. Her name's
miniature
Maisie.
Miniature poodle.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
If this was visual, I'd show you a photo, but that's okay.
We'll put it up later.
Yeah, amazing. But yeah, so getting into that habit of sort of taking time to go out to the park and take her for walks and doing Pilates. So doing that kind of exercise, not necessarily for the physical exercise of it, but the mental aspect of an hour without your phone and just taking a bit of time for yourself, I think is really awesome. And particularly since COVID, I think there's been that extra pressure and that bit of a blurred line between home and work, which flexible working has been amazing. But I know at least I found it quite challenging last year when it was lockdown working. And 5 o'clock rolled into 6 o'clock and it rolled into 7 o'clock and all of a sudden you hadn't left your dining table and you're still working and you're like, why am I here?
And your dog saying, why aren't you playing with me?
Yeah, why aren't you playing with me? I have priorities. but I think that's probably one of the really big things COVID's probably helped me learn a little bit more is really need to carve out that time. And if you work out the things that are important to you and make you feel good and you know essentially will help you perform at your best, you've just got to prioritize it and make it work. So I even worked with a manager last year who he had young kids, and for him it was always 5 o'clock, I have to go because I've got to go do bedtime, bath time, all that kind of stuff. And that was also a great reminder for me to carve out the time to be like, yep, go home or go do some exercise or go do something. Occasionally work still has to get done. You've just got to smash out like an hour more. But taking the time for yourself, I think just resets your brain a little bit more and you can come back to it refreshed and probably finish it faster than you would have if you were just trying to slog it out much earlier on without that extra time.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I've got a Jack Russell.
Amazing.
And without, well, like before kids, so last year, that dog was, what do they call them? What do they call them when
they're... Fur baby?
Fur baby, thank you. It turned out it started from, you're not coming in the house to it sleeping.
Yeah, you're not getting anywhere near the couch or my bed, but now every single night. yeah.
How long did that take? A day? 2 weeks?
Look,
a month?
She's still quite young. I'm still trying to stand my ground, but...
Perfect.
We're getting there. It'll chip away very shortly.
I'm just trying to visualize a miniature poodle.
Oh, she's so cute.
And they're smart too, those
dogs.
They're
very smart. She's also very good at jumping, which has proven a little bit of an issue because she's now jumped over baby gates, which is not what I wanted.
You've so got baby gates.
My apartment looks a little bit like a prison because I've got barricades to keep her in an area, but she'll be fine. She'll be chill very soon, I hope.
Oh, they're lots of fun. They help you with your mental health,
100%.
I think, as well.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad that you're part of the dog family now.
Good.
Oh, thanks for that. Is there anything that you wanted to recommend students to do while on campus or virtually? So we talked a bit about what you did while you're on campus. You said you're a very busy mind person, you like to be really busy. Is there anything, any one thing, you can plug any of our Bell Careers stuff if you like, or something else that you took part in that you thought, wow, that was a real inspiration event or workshop or experience that I did that I've now used in the future? Is there anything that you...
I don't even know if I can pinpoint exactly one, because I think half of what I'd recommend is just basically give anything a crack. Like, you might be at the moment studying something and you think you're going to pursue that accounting major, or you think you're going to pursue the info systems major or whatever it is that you're currently doing, but there's so many opportunities out there and so many paths that you might not even know exist if you just don't take the chance to have a look. So if something pops up and it's from the Marketing Society, or if something pops up and it's, I think there's now a Trading and Investment Society, if anything kind of sparks that little bit of interest, I think my recommendation would be just go check it out. And if a lot of things are virtual now, there's so many opportunities to dial into a panel, or if it's on campus, just duck into the room and sit up the back, and if you don't like it, run away. But just take the chance to meet the different people who are at those events and hear from their experiences, because I think there's so many avenues out there that you don't even know exist. And if I went in siloed with my degree background, consulting wouldn't necessarily have been a door that I would have opened. But I'm absolutely loving it. So I would have regretted it if I didn't go along to some of those events and discover what was actually out there that I could pursue.
No, great advice. I couldn't agree more. The more you check out, the more you surprise yourself, I guess,
yeah,
as well.
And I think the absolute worst thing is that you work out you don't want to do something. And that was something I probably really appreciated when I was doing some of my work experience spots, is that tossing up between law and consulting, but they're quite different areas. And I had, I think it was actually the partner in the team that I'm currently in, made a comment to me when I was a vacationer and said, at the very least, I want you to go off and do the law program and work out that you don't like it, and that's why you actually want to come back to us, because it just reaffirms the fact that it is the work that you want to be doing. So at the very least, you're going to work out what you don't want to do, and that just puts you a step closer to where you want to be. So I think give everything a crack.
That's some really great advice for someone that's trying to hold on to top talent like yourself, to have the confidence for them to say, go out, check out what you want, because we feel that you'll probably want to come back anyway, because we trust our brand and what we do.
Yeah.
So that's some really good advice as well. So thanks for your time today. To finish off, I was wondering if you can provide us with your favorite career hack that people should follow.
I think it probably actually links in a little bit with what I was just saying, but it was one of the first things that I learned when I started my VACI program. They went through the unwritten rules of consulting. And one of them was that you need to become comfortable with the unknown. So there's a massive need to just adapt and evolve and respond. And not just in consulting, but I think our whole sort of corporate realm is constantly changing. So that ability to become comfortable with the fact that things aren't going to stay in the exact trajectory you expect. And whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, there could be that new opportunity that pops around the corner that if you dive into it, everything's going to change for the better. So I think just trying to be comfortable with the fact that you just need to adapt and be ready for change, and just try and thrive in that kind of environment, that would be my biggest thing to recommend.
Thanks, Sabrina. That's perfect. And it goes with our marketing as well. So fantastic.
Oh, there you go.
Own the unknown.
Oh, amazing. I made that work. Didn't even know.
Yeah, natural. Well, thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate it. One thing before we sign off, I was just going to give you some recommendations about your dog again.
Oh, amazing. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.
try and avoid creating their own Instagram account.
Yeah, I may have already done that.
Oh, you've already got one.
Yeah, no, I might have, but that's okay.
Oh, that's the gold. I'm going to have to look at him.
I'll plug the handle, Mini Miss Macy on Instagram. No,
nice.
She's really cute. I'll show you a photo.
My family member, I'm not going to name who, actually bought people for their Instagram account so that they could up their level on Instagram.
For their dog or for their personal one?
No, for their dog.
That's okay. I'm looking for natural reach. I'm going to make it happen. Macy's going to become big.
You can use this on the podcast.
Amazing.
Fantastic. Awesome. Sabrina, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. Really appreciate it.
Take care. That's it for this episode of Career Hacks, brought to you by UQ Faculty of Business, Economics and Law in the Careers and Employability team. Join us next time for further insights into the lives of industry professionals and the students like yourselves. Thank you for listening, legends.